Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about KOA Campgrounds, the largest system of campgrounds in America.
Most campers have heard of KOA, and many have strong opinions. This week we will talk about the KOA franchise and, more specifically, its new rebranding campaign that identifies campgrounds as Journey, Holiday, or Resort.
We will explain what each title means and give some examples from our own travels.
And we invited Toby O'Rourke, the Senior Vice President of Marketing, onto the show to give you all the inside scoop on this rebranding effort. Listen to hear why KOA embarked on this project and some of the company's plans for the future.
Plus, a serious, serious scoop that will be of high interest to our East Coast listeners.
And we are, of course, delighted to have Go RVing back as our RV FTA sponsor. Listen for a message from them just a bit later in our show. To find your way, head over to GoRVing.com/RVFTA.
You may swear by KOA, or maybe you have never even looked behind that yellow sign. Either way, you'll want the serious campground intel we are gathering on episode number 49. Why is KOA rebranding?
Before we head into this week's feature topic, why is KOA rebranding, we have our RV FTA news roundup.
Yes, we do. And right off the top, I want to talk about dates, okay? You know, if you've been listening, if you're caught up with the episodes, that we are going to be at the Hershey Show.
And boy, oh boy, are we excited.
Yes.
Because Hershey's the largest RV show on the planet.
Yeah, it is. And this is just going to be good times, and we're going to have lots of content. We're going to have a lot
of
fun.
I want to see all the RVs.
I know.
I want to see all the stinking RVs. I want to see what new stuff they're throwing at us.
So September 16th through the 20th. And if you're going, shoot us an email. Let us know. Tell us to expect you. We'd love to see you. Okay. We also have our fall rally coming up October 23rd and 24th at the Philadelphia Westchester
KOA, which is one of our favorites. We've been there 6 or 7 times. And actually, all of the sites I reserved are gone.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean the campground's full, though.
Right.
It just means the block I reserved is gone. And in fact, I'm probably going to call back and try and reserve a few more. If you want to come, call them up and just say, give me a site as close as you can to the rally.
It's not a huge campground.
Yeah, so you can't be that far away.
You can't be that far away. Just go ahead, call up, say, just put me as close as you can to the group, and they'll
The only thing I would say is they have sites along the Brandywine River, which is a little bit of a walk down a hill. If you have a pop-up camper, they might want to put you there. That would be a bit of a walk.
Yeah.
So I would avoid that. Ask to be up in the main area.
And another thing is, yeah, it's August, and who wants to think about October camping? But this is a Halloween weekend. It's going to fill up. It always does.
They sell out every Halloween weekend.
If you want to come,
call them.
Yeah, don't cry later because you couldn't get a spot, all right?
Do you really think people will cry later?
No, not really. Okay, the next one is the spring rally, okay?
Now, you think we're Looney Tunes for talking about the spring rally.
What?
But guess what? If you want, you know, 20 sites together for a group, you got to book it in advance,
okay.
And we did.
Well, June 3rd and 4th is our spring rally.
The weekend after Memorial Day.
And the sites that are right around the group camping area that we did it at Lake and Wood in Narvon, PA last year.
Great campground.
Okay. They're almost gone.
They're almost gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
don't go crying about it later.
You can still come. But what you're going to have to do is maybe be somewhere else in the campground. You might be a 3-minute walk. You might be a 5-minute walk. It doesn't matter. It's still going to be an awesome weekend. You're still going to come over and have the
fire. You can rent a golf cart or ride your bike over.
Yeah.
Throw the kids in the back of
the
pickup truck.
You'll still come to the, you know, potluck dinner that we'll have.
We'll still invite you to all the stuff.
But you'll have to say, you might call and they might be like, oh, well, there's no more spots. You have to say, well, put me somewhere else in the campground. All right.
Exactly.
So that settles that. All right.
Now, a big announcement for the rally for the fall of 2016.
No, we're not
there yet.
You just made me panic. I thought maybe
we got nothing. We got nothing on that.
Okay. So I want to move on to our iTunes reviews. Now, I want to read an iTunes review that was very, very interesting.
We've both been talking about this on and off since we received it. It was thought-provoking.
I think it was on point for a lot of people. We always say we have more listeners than we ever would have imagined that are entering into an RV purchase.
Or thinking about it and not sure.
Not sure, right? And they're doing their research, and we happen to be part of that research. So this review...
Which we love, but it's also... We're humbled by it because we want to make sure we're giving good information.
Right.
And being helpful.
So this... They gave us a 5-star review, and thank you. Okay? And it said, nice, upbeat, informative show. Now... This is important, so listen up. I enjoy listening to the information provided on your podcast delivered with an upbeat tempo. There are two items I have trouble understanding. First, the RV marketing line that it is cheaper to take an RV vacation than staying in a hotel. My point is that in all the calculations, no one factors in the cost of the RV purchase and storage fees in between vacations. Second, where is the quality control in the RV industry? In my research towards the purchase of a travel trailer, I've read about the poor quality control issues on the RVs delivered from the companies to the dealers. Then the dealer's not addressing the problems until the customer buys the RV and points out the problem with the RV. If the problem is not identified by the customer on the walkthrough, then the customer can be left with a compounded problem later on that is not covered by the warranty. This business model has me looking for a travel trailer, but shying away from spending good money on a risky investment for my family's vacations. This is very frustrating.
So let's talk about both. Let's separate both of these things because they're both really great things to talk
about.
And
how many new RV, you know, people that are researching this have probably thought about these two issues and feel that same frustration.
So on the first issue, I think we'll go through that a little bit more quickly. And actually, when we talked about that vacation calculator on GoRVing's website, it does include actually the price of your payment for the RV.
So that
is built in, and we looked at it again before this show, and it's built in what we think is an honest way. So I don't think that the industry is putting out this line and just ignoring the fact that you actually have to buy an RV. I think it is built into that.
In the cost calculator, when you're picking like a driving and a hotel vacation, when you actually go through it, that's at gorving.com/RVFTA, and then you're going to do vacation finder, right? Your value finder, where you're actually putting in what kind of vacation you would take normally, driving or in staying in a hotel versus an RV vacation. In the columns that it gives you, one of those rows says cost of RV ownership. Now, for a 7-day vacation, I saw that it had like $165 there. Now, that's separate from campground and everything.
That being said, if you speak to someone who RVs, who used to do hotel vacations, it is a truism that they are cheaper. And everybody, not just the industry, but the consumer, pretty much everyone agrees they're cheaper. I mean, if you walk around a campground, we're at a campground right now. If you walk around a campground and ask everybody here, they're going to say, no way, this is much cheaper. I'm cooking my own food in my RV, and I'm paying $50 a night for a campground and not $150 for a hotel room.
Now, I do think that if you end up paying storage for your RV,
that changes the calculation.
That does change the calculation significantly. We had to do that for a little while.
We paid $600 a year to store our RV, which was not that bad, really. So, that adds an additional cost.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think that most RVers are going to tell you, look, this is definitely much cheaper. And the other thing I say to people, if you have a family of 5 or 6 or maybe even more in terms of how many kids you have, are you going to fit comfortably in one hotel room?
Right.
I mean, we know
you're
a lot of families
that
are going to need either a larger suite or are going to need 2 hotel rooms on vacation, where if you have a 30-foot travel trailer, everybody's going to have a place to sleep.
Yeah.
Right?
So then the second issue, the quality control.
That's a more serious issue.
Yes.
And that's a legitimate issue.
It is.
And
you should be worried. You should not go into this purchase. The thing that we see time and time again is that people research floor plans ad nauseum, right? You go to RV shows, you walk around.
This is the floor plan I want.
You look at what you want, right?
But
I want bunks? Do I want, designated beds?
That's important, but you need to research your manufacturer. And we're not going to run through the list of every manufacturer. It's on you if you're spending your $20,000 or $30,000 on a travel trailer, but not all manufacturers are created equal.
Mm-hmm.
And if you dig in and do the research and ask questions on forums, you're going to find out very quickly which manufacturers have better reputations, and none of them are perfect.
Yeah.
But they're not all created equal. I will tell you
You'll see a difference in a pattern emerge. Now, you're not only going to see it reviews for manufacturers. Once you've pinpointed a manufacturer that you feel like gets better reviews, you need to look at your dealership reviews. Dealers are not created equal. And there are people that have such frustrating experiences with their dealers, not putting in warranty issues, not ordering parts, waiting for a warranty to...
Or just taking way too long to fix things.
Yeah.
So now that being said, I do think that you have to have realistic expectations. You're buying a house on wheels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody buying a home is not going to think, oh, I'll never have issues with my home.
Yeah.
I mean, things are going
you
to break.
You call the plumber.
You call the plumber, right? You call the HVAC
guy. We dealt with a dryer and an ice machine before we left for this vacation.
Again, if you walked around a campground and asked 50 people at the campground, you know, have you had issues with your RV? Everybody's going to say yes. The question is, how bad were they? How quickly were they fixed? Mm-hmm. Were they covered under warranty? Did your dealer deal with you in an honorable and respectable way? So Stephanie is so correct. Not all dealers are created equal.
No.
There are dealers that have really bad reputations for dealing with warranty issues. And you will need to bring your RV back under its warranty.
You should. Yeah, get everything worked out then.
I hardly have ever met somebody who didn't have to bring the RV back. So you want to make sure you have a dealer that's going to do a good job.
Go on to RV.net. Type in specifically in those forums.
Say, I am thinking of buying from this manufacturer. What are your experiences?
Yeah.
You will get responses.
You will get responses. Then also, you need to go on TripAdvisor. You need to go on Yelp. These places have dealership reviews. It's really funny. I don't know. I've never been on the ones that are private, like Angie's List or whatever. I don't know if they're on there.
I also
go to every single place you can find and look at people's experiences.
I also think the average consumer can walk onto an RV dealership, talk to a salesman, talk to a manager, and get a feeling about a place.
Yeah.
I think most of us know that feeling when you go to buy a car and you're like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
I don't trust these people.
Yeah.
And if your gut is telling you that, go to another dealership.
Yeah.
And it's more complicated in the world of RVs because it's not like a car dealership where there's going to be 100 car dealerships around you. You might only have a couple RV dealers.
Mm-hmm.
We bought at an RV dealer almost 2 hours from our home because of they had the brand we wanted and because they had the reputation we wanted to deal with.
Yeah.
Now, I think sadly a lot of people don't do that. They go to the closest RV dealer and they don't look into whether it's a good one because they want the convenience of purchasing
or
10 minutes from home or price.
Okay.
So do your research. Have realistic expectations. You're going to have some issues. And the last thing I would say is that people who buy RVs fall in love with this lifestyle. I don't think I've met anyone who bought an RV and had problems and said, oh, I regret getting into this lifestyle.
Well, they might not be at the campgrounds. That's why I might not have met them.
I honestly think that most RVers kind of realize, okay, you're going to buy it.
Yeah.
There's going to be some issues, but you're going to love it and you kind of laugh some of it off to some degree, right? It's just something you deal with. The question is, are the issues severe and is your dealer dealing with them?
Okay. So that was a great iTunes review. We really appreciate it. And we also appreciate that it addressed a lot of issues that people that are researching this are thinking about. All right. So good stuff. We just wanted to talk about that. Now, another message that we got this week via email was from a listener who is a pop-up owner. And he said, well, I noticed you guys haven't had an episode about tow safety and guidelines. And he's very interested in this topic. He takes it very seriously.
As we all should.
As we all should. And we were like, oh, well, you're right. We haven't had that as a topic, but we won't have that as a feature
topic.
Probably
not anytime soon.
Because, never. Because here's the thing. That is a safety issue that we are not experts
on. And it's an issue where there are experts. There are people that actually make their living dealing with these issues, people like Walter Cannon.
Which we interviewed.
And we interviewed Walter Cannon a while back, but he's from the RVSEF, the RV Safety and Education Foundation. It's a nonprofit.
Yes.
It's supported by the industry, but let me tell you, they are not in the bag for the industry.
No,
they are
like
a watchdog group.
Yeah.
And they have free resources and free information, and there's just people working hard to give you really good quality information.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not information we're going to give you in an episode when there's somebody out there doing it 100%. 100 times better than we could do it anyway.
These are the experts, and we're not
these
the experts.
These are engineers. These are people that work in these fields. Mm-hmm. You don't want, you know, I teach Shakespeare for a living. You don't want me breaking down your toe safety stuff.
No.
But there are free resources. Yeah. Also, we recommend Mark Polk from RV Education 101. And this gentleman who messaged us was saying he felt there was a lot of dishonesty from dealers mm-hmm. and even from the car manufacturers about all these issues. And I agree, yes.
Do not listen to someone who is trying to sell you
something. Don't let the salesman educate you on toe safety.
Yeah.
You need to go to these reputable places like the RVSEF.
Yeah.
And are they at rvsafety.org?
No, .com.
RVSafety.com or Mark Polk, RV Education 101, and even Good Sam and Trailer Life put out a reputable tow safety guide.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you do need to take the time to educate yourself about that, and you should not be showing up at a dealership just trusting whatever a salesman tells you.
Yeah, we did a review of the long trailer a while back, and we laughed. We made a joke out of the whole portion.
Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz.
Yeah, the portion.
Yeah, when they go to buy the RV, the guy's like, oh, yeah, you can tow that, no problem, right? Oh, no, he tells them they have to buy a new car.
Well, you know, you're planning on towing with that. He says after they buy it, you know?
After
and
they
then,
buy it, yes.
And then they have to upgrade and blah, blah, blah. So, of course, they're trying to sell you something.
And I mean, the reality here is that a lot, and this is not a criticism, a lot of RV salesmen are not RV owners, mm-hmm. you know, and they might not have all those numbers down in a way that they should. So be the educated consumer that shows up knowing exactly what your tow vehicle can tow.
Yeah,
right?
And I have to say, when we were doing the RV shows for GS Media with Walter Cannon.
Cannon's a rock star.
We watched people come to his presentations with paper and pencil, and they sat
taking
there
notes from
as
him.
He went through his PowerPoint show, and they were scribbling notes. Those are people that are getting the right product because they're willing to suffer through something that maybe we're all not too interested in.
Yeah, and you know what? If you go onto Walter's website and you email him, you're going to get an answer about a question too.
Yeah.
The only tip I would give people is, like, for me as someone who owns an RV and tows a 33-foot RV, I want to go way beyond clearing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone says to clear the weight by 1,000 pounds. I want to double that. So just be extra cautious and do your research online.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you to all of those issues that we got. Lots more emails. We got lots of other iTunes reviews. We appreciate them all. And we're going to go through them in the next couple weeks. But we did want to hit those two biggies.
Yeah. Those are some real issues out there. And look, we're in the internet age. There is a lot of bad information out there, also a lot of good information, and you need to sort those out.
All right. So we're going to be right back with a message from our sponsor at Go RVing.
Now it's time for a sponsored message from our friends over at Go RVing.
Have you signed up for Go RVing's monthly newsletter, No Reservations?
We love its mix of bucket list locations, roadworthy recipes, contests, and how-to ideas for finding your own adventure.
No Reservations will also keep you up to date on the latest from Go RVing's talented and inspirational team of bloggers.
And there are links to short videos where you can hear real RVers talk about their love for everything the RV life offers.
To sign up for No Reservations, head on over to GoRVing.com/RVFTA and scroll to the bottom of the page and click on newsletter.
Find your way. Go RVing. Now, I've signed up for the newsletter.
Of course.
I signed up for the newsletter years ago.
Yeah, but we just think they're a great resource for people who are thinking
about getting into
I'm
a newsletter guy, frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, everything that's old is new again. Like, so this puts it all together in terms of, like, here's all the stuff from the last month.
Yeah, that's
true. It's a monthly
true.
Newsletter.
Right, and it will also give you those YouTube videos that you wouldn't necessarily see if you
Yeah, so from your smartphone, like the last mm-hmm. newsletter had some new video testimonials from real RVers. It had Janine Pettit's latest blog post.
Right.
And it had, and there's almost always a recipe of some
right.
sort.
And we know that campers love the camping recipes.
Absolutely. Okay, so if you're interested in RVing and you're interested in Go RVing and all the stuff they have to offer you, sign up for No Reservations. We'll be back in a second with our feature topic, Why is KOA Rebranding? Before we dive into this week's featured topic, why is KOA rebranding, we just wanted to clarify that this is not sponsored content, okay? Because some of you know that we do write for KOA and we do some sponsored trips for KOA, but this is just a topic we wanted to cover on the podcast.
Yes. This is not advertising. We are not being paid to do this topic. We think that KOAs have a big presence in America. Many of you might be considering them. Many of you may stay
at them.
Especially
for family campers.
Yes. This is an interesting topic for our listeners, and that's why we're doing it.
Exactly. Now, you wanted to clarify a misconception you think a lot of people have about KOA, because we know we have a lot of like listeners out there just getting into RVing. Mm-hmm. So what was that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah. Well, we've been doing our blog now for 6 years, and over the course of that period of time, we've reviewed a lot of KOAs. We've gotten a lot of comments, emails about KOAs. Now, one of the things that repeatedly gets said that we've heard a lot is sort of referencing them as a corporate campground.
In this kind of vague way.
Sort of just like KOAs are these big, is this big corporate entity. And while, yes, it is a corporate franchise system, the individual campgrounds, and there are about 450 individually owned campgrounds, these are basically being run like small mom and pop businesses.
Right. So there's about 485 KOAs, mm-hmm. and about 30 of them are owned by the company.
They
call them
properties.
COPs.
Right.
The other 450 are owned by individual entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Right. So in terms of our listeners out there who are just getting into the world of RVing and just getting into the world of camping, we think that's important to know that you are
like
staying at a mom and pop campground.
That you're not paying a fee to like Walmart when you pay your campground fee, right? Like when you go to Walmart, you are just buying from a corporation.
Your money, a huge percentage of that money is getting sucked away to the corporate entity.
Yeah.
This is a very small percentage of the profit is going to a corporate entity, and it's just for the additional marketing help. It's to be in the catalog. It's to have access to all their research and all their branding
materials.
Everything
that franchises bring to the table. Now, we have met so many of these campground owners over the years that we've stayed there, and these are just like hardworking,
like salt of the earth. They are
owners.
Local businesses.
Yeah.
And we just don't like that misconception. Yeah.
That so many of them actually are in the family business. Like their parents might have owned that land as campground owners and they just decided to rebrand as a KOA because it was good business. So we just see it from sort of a little bit of a different perspective. And that might not occur to people that you really are supporting small business and local business when you support many KOAs.
And now a lot of these small businesses are rebranding. They are taking on the names of either Journey, Holiday, or Resort.
Yeah.
And KOA wants all of them to do this, okay? And they're moving in that direction over the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So we just want to kind of like briefly talk about our experience at each one, at Journey, Holiday, and Resort. And then we're going to dive into a great interview with Toby O'Rourke, and she's really going to break it down for us. Now, we have stayed at one Journey. Okay. And that's the Brattleboro North KOA in Vermont. It was not a Journey when we stayed there. It's a Journey now. And that actually surprised me a little.
Yeah, okay, we were a little surprised.
What is a Journey supposed to be?
So the Journey designation is supposed to show that this campground is a great stopover on a longer trip. So you know you're taking the trip from point A to point B, but that is a 15-hour trip and you're going to stop
you're
for
gonna
the night.
You're going to break it in half and spend the night somewhere.
Yeah. And so these campgrounds say, hey, look, you might not want to stay here for a week. This might not be your destination place for a family vacation.
But we're right off the highway.
But it's a great place to break for the night.
We have long pull-throughs.
Mm-hmm.
You can check in late, okay? And we can accommodate your big rig.
Yeah.
And if you need to do laundry, you can do laundry.
Right.
And then you can head on your way.
Right.
Right? So, with our experience with the Brattleboro North KOA, we stayed there for a week.
Yeah.
And we loved that area.
It's a nice area.
And we think of it as like a base camp and a place for
a
vacation. So, we just had that little bit of concern that there might be a KOA designated as a Journey and that someone might overlook it and say, well, that's not a place for a week's vacation. So we wanted our listeners to know, don't discount the Journey as a place for a long weekend or an actual vacation.
Right. So Brett, our correspondent from Utah, also talked about a Journey that he stayed at in Butte.
Butte, right? Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was just perfectly described. It was a place to pull over, get a good night's rest, and head on up to Glacier.
Yeah. So there's going to be ones like that that are really useful for people like Brett, who are like, well, I don't really know a lot about KOA. I haven't stayed at any, but this is helping me to figure out where I want to stop off for the night.
It's the convenience of where it is, too, in terms of the highways and the interstates. That's a big part of it. Because if you're pulling over for the night after 7 hours of driving, you don't want to drive half an hour off an interstate to a campground. You want something that's close.
Right. But what I want to caution people on is if you are looking at an area to have a vacation, if that area looks like a really nice vacation spot for you, if you see a Journey KOA, don't be like, oh, we can't stay there.
Absolutely.
It's a Journey. Look a little more closely. Look at the reviews. See if it has the amenities you want, because it might be a nice place.
That Brattleboro North KOA, there's all kinds of farmers markets around there. There's just so much
distance,
to do.
Yeah.
But they're a smaller campground. They are close to a highway. They have the pull-throughs.
Mm-hmm.
So it also works as an overnight as well.
Okay,
now,
holiday.
Most KOAs are becoming holidays, and I think that will continue, right? And the holiday idea is that it's a base camp, right? It's a place where you're going to stay and you're going to use it to explore an area, and there's going to be activities and amenities at the campground, but it's not like you're going to go there and spend every minute of a week's vacation at the campground.
Right. The holiday campgrounds fit sort of into that perfect model of what we say we like in a vacation. So we pick a destination usually that we really want to explore. Twin Mountains, Acadia, whatever, any of those places.
Mm-hmm.
And then we find a great campground in that area. Then what we do is we, every single day, explore the area a little bit and then come back to the campground and enjoy rest time, bounce pillow,
yeah, you're
pool.
So right. We're like KOA holiday people.
Right.
And I think that, you know, in most families anyway, or most people in general, that's kind of like they want to spend some time at the campground and some time exploring.
Yeah.
So the holiday's perfect for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've stayed at least two holidays.
Right. And we've stayed at tons that we think will probably
become holidays. Or in the process of it. And they're all moving at a different pace. Mm-hmm. So there's not like some deadline.
Mm-hmm.
So we recently stayed at the Queechee Pine Valley KOA in Vermont. We were there 2 years ago. Loved it.
Yep.
Wanted to come back. They weren't a holiday then, obviously. They are now. And this is like the perfect example of holiday of KOA holiday to me, because there's so much to do within 15 minutes of that campground. And we're going to review that campground in another episode. And it's a nice campground. It's beautiful. There are activities and amenities there, but you're not going to spend every second of a week's vacation at that campground.
You don't even want to spend like the whole day there.
Because you want to go and you want to go explore Queechee.
Right.
You want to go down to the gorge. You want to go hiking.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we also often stay at the Philadelphia Westchester KOA.
Yeah.
Beautiful campground, but you're not going to spend every minute of seven days there. You're going to go to Longwood Gardens. You're going to go to Winterthur. You might take a shuttle into Philly.
Right. And they have wineries right in that area.
Yeah,
however,
you're going to be exploring.
They also have canoe rentals and fishing and a pool. So you can spend those afternoons there if you want.
Right.
It's a nice balance.
And there's going to be like scheduled activities on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but maybe not on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Now, the only KOA resort we have stayed at is the Cape Hatteras KOA. And I think there's only about five KOA resorts right now. There's less than 10.
And from hearing Toby O'Rourke talk, it sounds like there's some pretty stringent
qualities.
Requirements.
She's going to talk about how that word resort is kind of meaningless. And everyone who's into RVing knows that like so many RV parks call themselves resorts. And you show up and you're disappointed and you're like, resort? But like the Cape Hatteras KOA, which we've been to about eight times.
It's a resort.
It is a resort. And you don't need to leave that campground to have an awesome vacation.
Yeah.
We're going to, you know, we'll talk about that one as well.
The pool, the water slides,
gorgeous pools,
the
restaurant
snack
on
bar.
Site.
Right.
So the resort idea is that you can go there. It's a destination in its own right. You bring your groceries and you spend the week there and you have a great time.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll be back in a second with an interview with Toby O'Rourke, and she's going to really educate us on why they're doing this and how it's all working, how it's playing out. It's a terrific interview. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. We are very excited to be here with Toby O'Rourke, the Senior Vice President of Marketing for Campgrounds of America. Welcome to the show, Toby.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Toby.
Very excited to have you. We really, at the heart of what we want to talk about today is KOA's branding, rebranding initiative. But before we do that, introduce yourselves. What did you do in the world of marketing before KOA, before you came to KOA?
Sure. My background is probably a little unique for a marketer, that I started out more on the computer side of things. I was a software developer and a technology consultant for several years. And then when I went to graduate school and became a marketer, I actually moved into CPG marketing for food companies. So I did traditional brand management work for Sara Lee Corporation on the Hillshire Farm brand. And then right before KOA, I was at White Wave Foods in Colorado marketing Silk Soy Milk and Horizon Organic Milk.
Now, was coming to KOA a return home for you, if I remember correctly? Are you Montana?
Yes. I was very anxious to get back. After I had my first child, I started looking to see what would bring me back home to Montana. I was born and raised here and then had been gone since college. This opportunity came up. I'm a digital marketer by trade, I suppose you could say. And at the time, KOA was hiring for a digital marketing director. And that's what brought me to Billings and to KOA. And I grew up camping. When you live in Montana, you know, you live the outdoors, you camp, and I was very familiar with the brand, but definitely my eyes were open to the diversity and breadth and, amazing things about our system once I started working here. And it's been 4.5 years now, and I am, like you said, in charge of all of our marketing, so all of our advertising, our digital marketing, our website, our mobile app, PR work, social media to campers. And then I also manage our communications to our franchise system. We're a four franchise system, so that's obviously a very important part of our business.
You sound a little busy.
We have our hands full, but you know what? I have a great team, just the most fantastic team, and a really great agency network across the country. So there's a lot of people working on keeping this business going. It's not just me.
And is there some fighting Irish in your background as well?
Yes. I went to undergrad at Notre Dame. So I have that from... you're right. And my last name is Irish. So I am... My blood's Irish and my education is Irish. So I'm fighting.
It gets you through the tough times, though.
Yeah, it keeps me feisty. All
absolutely.
Right.
So look, you are managing an iconic brand, okay? And you guys are doing some rebranding in terms of identifying your campgrounds different ways. So some of them will be journeys, some of them will be holidays, and some of them will be resorts. So I guess the real question is, after over 50 years and such an iconic brand, why change the secret sauce? You know, why do something different when everything seemed to be working?
Yeah, and that's a really interesting nuance to point out, is that we're actually not changing anything. A lot of times when people introduce brand segments, they are creating something new. In our case, we were actually taking what was already happening, and based off the natural experience that has evolved very differently on different types of campgrounds, and trying to identify those separately. So it allows us to tell the camper more about the experience they could find at that particular KOA. KOA, as you noted, has been around 54 years. Very rich, long history, very high brand awareness. It started out as very much a system of overnight stops across the country when people were traveling, you know, coast to coast in their RVs. As the RVing business and camping business has evolved over the years, so has KOA. So we still have many overnight destinations, of which we call KOA journeys in this model. We also have something that you might now start to see cabins at, recreation at. You might stay there for maybe a little bit more of an extended time. It could be a base camp to explore an area, or a lot of recreation right on site. And then we have what we're calling KOA resorts, which are sort of that amped up holiday, if you will, that has a lot more of those cabins, a lot more recreation, and even things like food service. So it's an all more, you never have to leave the campground experience. So rather than creating something new, what we're trying to do is identify buckets of the experience, I guess, if you will, to help that camper know what to expect at that KOA.
Yeah, and I think from a consumer angle, that is just such a necessary sort of educational tool for you guys, because we have a lot of experience with listeners saying, like, well, KOAs are like this, you know? And,
yeah.
And we spend a lot of time in our campground reviews saying, no, they're not like this. They're like that and that and the other thing, you know?
Right.
They're very different depending on where you are, so.
Yeah, for you know, and you could have a journey, holiday, and a resort all within a close radius of each other, and they're all just serving a different mm-hmm. experience and helping that camper decide what they're looking for. And what's going to best meet their needs, we think, helps them have a happier end result.
So it's kind of about front-loading the information for the consumer to mm-hmm. help them make their best choice.
Absolutely. We know most people start their travel planning online. I think Google says something like 65% of people start their travel planning online. And we don't think that that's that much different for the camping business. You know, our usage of our online tools and our app are going through the roof. So we know a lot of people are starting online. They're reading reviews. They're going to the website to learn more about the experience. This is one additional way we can help educate them to help them make that decision.
And I guess no one wants a consumer to show up and think that they're getting something way different than they're getting. So in a sense, it's like managing expectations. And then
yep.
I would think people are just going to be happier in advance knowing exactly what they are getting.
Right. That's my goal as a marketer. Is obviously a big thing we all always do is, you know, ask guests to rate their stay. And a big part of that is, did it meet your expectations or exceed, hopefully. And so if you know going in what is at this KOA, you know, what sort of amenities it has, helps you not only make that decision versus the other competition in town, but it'll, in the end, you know, you'll have a better experience. We're hoping then you're rating us higher and giving us a better review.
Now, I would assume this is not easy to implement. I mean, you guys have close to 500 campgrounds. It's a lot of different owners, a lot of different personalities, a lot of different geography. What are some of the challenges of implementing a system like this?
Yeah, it is a challenge. Like you said, we've got just about 500 campgrounds across the U.S. and Canada. We rolled this out a couple years ago at our convention. You know, there's obviously going to be a lot of questions from our owners. We worked very closely with our owners association on refining some of the criteria for each brand position, and we've got to where we think is a really good spot. So that initial year was a lot of let's all get on the same page with what each of these brands stand for, and then a lot of it now moves into the implementation phase. So it's not just a turnkey operation where you can just go hang a sign. You have to meet a certain set of criteria. So for a lot of campgrounds, they have to invest additional money into their campground to, you know, maybe that's investing in deluxe cabins, maybe that's building patio RV sites, that's improving their Wi-Fi, and that costs money. So that's going to take time for some owners, and we recognize that, and we're working with them to help them identify what they need to do and helping them try to get there.
Yeah, so we're, as bloggers and podcasters, we're obviously nosy people, right? Like, we always want to, like, get the intel and get what's going on. And I have to say, over our travels in the last year, there's been a lot of upgrades happening at campgrounds.
At campgrounds we've been returning to.
Yeah.
Like, it was our second time there. We were like, oh, whoa.
And that was kind of part of our operating theory. We were like, you know what? We bet that they're trying to meet, you know, some expectations or some check, you know, some checklists to try to say, okay, well, we're going to do this and we're going to be this, but we have to put in an extra deluxe cabin or something.
Is there some dimension where this is about, you know, keeping ahead of the competition as well? I mean, if a big part of it is, or at least a part of it is upgrading, is this a way to stay ahead of everybody else in the
game? Absolutely. You know, in our system, it comes down to the local competition. And so brand positioning gives me something to talk about from a marketing perspective. It gives me something to get you in PR and get people thinking about you differently. But the investment people are making in their campgrounds gives them that edge up over competition, and then I can tell that story and attract the camper there. You know, in many ways, this is a very much a marketing program, and in many ways, this is very much like we're investing in our system. I want the KOA brand to stand for quality, and that's what these people are doing, and our owners are great. They're rallying behind this idea. They're stepping into it, trying to meet the criteria, and that overall is taking our system up a notch, which does help us versus competition, which is extremely important.
Is there a goal for, like, complete implementation? Is there a date, or are we just kind of doing it as quickly as we can?
there's not a date set right now. There will be a date established at some point, and I don't know when, and that's completely honest. We have not given a date out to the system of when we expect every campground to be part of the brand position, but that is the ultimate goal, that every KOA would be one of three brand positions. It's somewhere out there in the future, and we're, you know, we have about 162 campgrounds currently in our directory for this year under a brand position. We've had a few commit, you know, that they're working on the stuff for next year. We're hoping to continue to just bite at that a little bit each year. And, you know, I would hope in the next 5 years every campground is branded, but there's been no date set.
Great. Now, you talked a bit about a journey. You talked about a holiday a little bit. The world of the resort campground is unfamiliar to some people. Could you tell us a little bit more, like, what is a KOA resort look like?
I mean, well, let's you know, be honest. Us Easterners, we love our resort campgrounds.
Yeah,
The Westerners have to be brought along a little bit.
Our West Coast podcast listeners are like, when we do some of our campground reviews, they're like, what are you talking about? Like, that's a campground? But maybe we have more of them in the Northeast or in the East. So what would a potential customer expect to see at a resort?
I think resort is one of those words that's probably the most thrown out and misused probably word across travel in general. You know, anybody could put the word resort up and it could mean something very different to them versus somebody else. So we worked hard on what our definition was of a KOA resort. And that really comes down to a destination experience that you never have to leave that campground if you don't want to. So the things that you're going to see there are similar to what you're going to see in our holiday brand. You're going to see cabins, but you're going to see a lot more deluxe cabins. And we define deluxe cabins as having a bathroom. And then the difference at the resort level is it's a guarantee if it's a KOA resort, they're already going to have the linens on the bed.
Okay.
So you don't even have to bring anything to those cabins. Now, that being said, a lot of our holidays and our journeys out there have deluxe cabins and they put linens on them. But at the resort level, that's a requirement.
Okay.
So there's no question there. You're also going to see, we're really proud of our patio RV sites. We've put a lot of, you know, thought and science behind what makes an ideal patio RV site. And you will see those at the resort as well as the holiday. But you're going to see a lot more of those at the resort. The big differences, I would say, for the resort are recreation. We have a lot of, you know, really amped up recreation requirements that you're going to see, you know, for both, you know, children or adults. If it's more of maybe a snowbird destination campground, they have to meet a certain level of recreation requirements, both active and passive recreation. You have to have recreation staff. That's their job, leading recreation activities as well as passive recreation options. And then you're going to have on-site food service. So you can get at least two meals a day during the peak season every day of the week served at on-site food service.
Now, for us, when we think of a KOA resort, we think of the Cape Hatteras property.
Yeah.
We visited that one more than any other property in the system. I think we've probably been there 10 times.
Yeah,
Oh my gosh, it's a good one. We so intentionally go because we don't want to leave the campground. Like, we go there when we're not sightseeing. We just want to, like, park it and use the beach.
I think a couple years ago, we
didn't leave.
That's not the kind of travelers we generally are. We actually looked at each other at a certain point, you know, towards the end of our stay and thought, should we get off the campground before we go?
We bought our groceries for 7 days and we stayed there.
Yeah, and that would be the case at some of our other resorts. You know, there's Shelby Mansfield in Ohio. One of our newest resorts is Mount Rushmore in South Dakota. And it is just, there's so much going on there that you don't need to leave if you don't want to, whether you want to just be entertained or you want to have access to food. And then, you know, there's group facilities. A big draw of a resort is there's going to be indoor and outdoor group facilities. So if you want a family reunion there, you know, a business retreat, you know, we've got the space for you to host your meetings. And so you're right. You don't have to leave if you don't want to. And that's our vision of a KOA resort.
Great. Now, let's shift gears here. We would be remiss to not talk about the North American Camping Report because we know you are intimately involved. And we've talked about it quite a lot on the podcast over the last, I guess, 3 months.
Yes, it's March.
So what was your involvement in the creation of the North American Camping Report?
Yeah, well, this was commissioned by my team here in marketing. Marketing PR works together. So we commissioned the report to be done by Karn Consulting Group out of Maine, who has done some research for us in the past. It was important to me that this is not just a picture of the KOA camper. And so this is truly a snapshot of North American camping habits, whether that be where they camp or how they camp, why they camp, who they camp with, etc. So we wanted to, one, you know, offer this as something for the campground industry. We think it's important that the industry has a really good snapshot of what's happening out there.
I'm a paranoid New Jersey guy. When you guys first released this, I was like, why would they not keep this to themselves, right? Like it seems like a secret document that you released out into the world. I mean, is this just about being the market leader, or why share it?
Absolutely. I mean, to me, it's all about category building. The more we can get people out camping as a collective group, whether that be working with the RV manufacturers, working with outdoor retailers, working with, you know, other independent campgrounds, the better. So it's all about getting North Americans out to camp. And so yeah, a lot of this was our wanting to help the industry and give up the information we have. That being said, I do a lot of research all year long, and I don't necessarily, you know, share all of it.
We'll have to have you back for another interview.
It's really big secret. So
is that have like a red cover that says most secret on it or something?
No, not at all. We're very, you know, we like to share our photography. We like to share our insights, you know, and for the most part, this is a very much of a sharing industry. I'm not used to this. When I worked in the food industry, there was a lot of proprietary information.
So it's like the Starbucks effect, I guess, right? Like Starbucks, when they exploded, it was good for everybody.
Yeah.
And so that is like kind of the same idea at work, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's part of our responsibility to share what we know. So,
Toby, you mentioned that you just want to get people out camping, right? More people doing that. And that kind of makes me think of one of the really interesting parts of that report to us, which was that more and more minority groups are camping in America. And we have a demographic of listener that is very different than the sort of traditional demographic that you've heard of as the camping demographic. So we kind of, you know, we're very interested in that statistic, and we've talked about it a lot on our show. How has KOA taken that particular, like, little piece of data, and has it informed anything that you're doing with initiatives or anything that you're doing within your system to welcome the changing face of the camper in America?
Yeah, it was very exciting to us to see those numbers. We had run this data a few years ago and definitely seen spikes across the board in incident of ethnicity campaigns, so we're very excited by that. We are working on trying to be better at our response, whether that be, you know, for example, more Spanish material, for example, collateral material for our Hispanic campers. We're working on that. We do have some collateral out there, but I think, you know, there's so much more we can do, you know, on our website, for example. We have worked, just like you guys are in the blogger podcast world, we try to work with influencers within those specific communities to help better understand the needs of those communities and our campgrounds and what they'd be looking for, and then posting bloggers and then to help tell that story. So we're trying to reach people that way.
It's working. We have a lot of minority listeners, and I hesitate to speak for them, but we've heard from multiple people that they feel more comfortable camping at a KOA.
Yeah, they feel welcome.
They feel more welcomed, and they also, I've heard people talking about how even your marketing, your pictures and your imagery show people with diverse backgrounds. And I think also people feel like if they do camp at a KOA and there's a problem, there's a phone number to call. There's that other level to go to.
Yeah, that, you know, that yellow shirt service, that yellow shirt stands for something, you know, outdoor hospitality we try to deliver would stand for anybody, regardless of ethnicity or age. And that's very important as part of the KOA mix, is that we are helpful, we are helping you. I hope anyone feels welcome at a KOA. And you're right, we do try to make sure we're integrating lots of different faces of camping in our marketing to make sure everybody knows
this is a lifestyle for everybody. Yeah, for families everybody. Across America.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned that you camp and you love to camp. Have you taken any great summer camping trips of late?
You know, I have two little ones. I have a 5-year-old daughter and a 2.5-year-old son. We have done a lot of camping this year. We actually spent 10 days in Florida. I was there for work, so I brought the kids along, and we stayed at 3 or 4 KOAs, which was really fun. And then here around home, we have been camping over by Yellowstone Park. We're headed to Great Falls, which is a few hours from here, in a couple weeks. But probably the most fun we had is I had my daughter's 5th birthday party at our local KOA here in Billings and had a camping party.
Wow, perks of the job, Toby. That's
yeah,
great.
It was so fun, and we totally got into the theme and did. It was one of the funnest birthday parties we had had, and all of her friends had a great time. So.
Sounds like a good idea to me. Let's do a birthday party at KOA next year. Love it.
Yeah, it's a great place.
Oh, wait, there's no KOAs in New Jersey. We can't do a birthday party.
Yeah, you guys got to get to work on that. We will promote the heck out of it for free.
I'm not going to, reveal too much, but you will be pleasantly surprised.
You heard it here first.
Let me tell you something. The whole interview was worth it for that.
Whoa.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
All right, let's recover and wrap up this interview because that might throw us off.
I'm breathless.
As soon as I can talk more about it, I will call you back.
Okay.
No. You better promise you have a boss because you're going to come back on the show.
Yes.
We will promise
we'll sell out the campground their opening weekend.
Yes. Rally.
We'll do a rally at that campground when you give us the info.
Okay, I'll let you know.
Thank you so much for giving us your time today. We really appreciate it.
Well, this was great. It was really nice to talk with you guys.
It was nice talking to you.
Enjoy the rest of your summer.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much to our sponsor, Go RVing. So everyone needs to head on over to GoRVing.com/RVFTA so they know you're coming from us and sign up for that great No Reservations newsletter.
And also thank you so much to Toby O'Rourke who came on to talk to us about the great rebranding of KOA.
Yeah, you know, like 6 years ago, we really didn't know what a KOA was, you know?
We didn't know what a KOA was at all.
Yeah, we were just getting into RVing and we saw those signs on the side of the road, right? And we stayed at that Cape Hatteras KOA the first time.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I fell in love with the brand on that first camping trip with KOA.
Well, we had done state parks and we had done like a couple of other private campgrounds and we just didn't want to rent a house in Cape Hatteras with an RV. So we thought,
let's go to Cape Hatteras every year. There was a KOA there. We went there.
And there was playgrounds and water slides.
And I grabbed that KOA catalog. And
we never stopped.
And we haven't looked back since. But you know what? Really what we learned, I guess, right away was it was a good brand for family camping.
Yeah.
It was a comfortable place for us to bring our kids, a safe place to bring our kids. And we quickly learned there's going to be a good pool. There's going to be a good playground. It's going to be a fun place for our boys. And that was really kind of the magic that drew us into the KOA brand.
Yeah. So 6 years later.
6 years later, we want all of our listeners to know, this is what KOA offers you. And now as they move forward into doing the journey, holiday, and resort, all our listeners are educated about what that means.
Yeah.
And you're not going to be surprised when you see that added up to those yellow signs, right?
Now, next week. We're talking
next week.
Look,
we have spent the summer on the road and we had a blast. We've had an amazing time. We want to keep it real.
Yeah.
We've also seen lots of naughty behavior at the campground and not lots, but we've seen hot spots like, that's when naughty behavior comes out. Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited to do this episode, not because we have incredible pearls of wisdom to hand to our listeners. I don't want to act like we always can figure out these problems so easily, but I want to get a good conversation started with all the other parents out there listening. Like, how do you deal with naughty behavior? How did we deal with it? What worked for us and what didn't work?
Yeah. And that's what we're going to do. We're just going to break it down into different areas of travel that we notice sort of flare-ups can happen.
Should we give a little sneak peek?
Some things that we thought of and some things that maybe we would do differently next time. All right?
So we'll share what we learned this summer and we want to kind of open it up to everybody. How do you deal with your kids when they're naughty at the campground? Because none of us want to deal with naughty behavior at the campground. We want to be sitting under the stars and having campfires and roasting s'mores. And it's like we all have this idea like you can't misbehave. We're on vacation.
But that's bunk, right?
I mean, if they're bad at home, they can be bad at the campground.
So if you want to send us something, if you want to send us an email, send us
in advance, maybe give us something to talk about next week.
That would be great. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. And we are approaching our 1 year anniversary
Happy
for this
birthday
podcast.
To us.
Not yet, but soon.
No, soon. And I've got a birthday party planned.
We're going to have a bit of a birthday party, and we're going to give some stuff away because it's
are.
Been way too long since we've done some great giveaways for our great podcast listeners. Thanks again for joining us.
Talk
we'll
you
see
next
you next week.